You're listening to Extinct, a podcast about dead things. I'm Alice Leggett. Together, we'll explore the stories of species that have existed over millions of years, from the earliest forms of life to those that died out more recently, as well as modern biodiversity loss and conservation initiatives. Hello, you're listening to Extinct. In this episode, we're taking to the skies to talk about a giant predatory bird that called Australia home more than 50,000 years ago, Dinotaurus gaffae. This ancient species of eagle was twice the size of the modern-day wedge-tailed eagle, with a wingspan of over 3 metres and talons big enough to grab kangaroos. Dinotaurus gaffae is the largest bird of prey to ever exist in Australia, and potentially the largest continental eagle on the planet. The species was recently described in March 2023 after fossil evidence was first discovered in South Australia's Flinders Ranges back in the 1950s and 1960s. Joining us to chat more about this fascinating bird is Flinders University paleontologist Dr. Ellen Mather. Dr. Mather specialises in extinct eagle species in Australia and has been involved in naming and officially describing them. She is the lead author on a paper describing Dinotaurus gaffae in the Journal of Ornithology. Ellen, thank you so much for joining us. To get us started, what sparked your interest in paleontology and what led you down the path of focusing on birds?
So paleontology is something that I've been interested in practically since I was very young. So started out, you know, when I was a little kid, and of course I was interested in dinosaurs because who isn't at that age? And as I got older, you know, I came to realise, oh, there's more to paleontology than just dinosaurs. There are also other extinct animals. And so I always wanted to pursue a career looking at that. And so my specialisation in birds really was a bit down to chance. So in 2016, I went to Flinders University because they have a great paleo lab here, and I was looking for a paleontology-based honours project. And out of the ones they were offering at the time, I took up the one offered by Trevor Worthy, which was looking at fossil water birds from New Zealand, and I've stuck with that area ever since.
Once you've got a good opportunity like that, it's really good to dive into a niche, but we're talking about a very special species. What did Dinotaurus gaffae look like and what makes this species special?
So we know from the bones that Dinotaurus was a very robust, stocky eagle. So if you've ever seen a wedge-tailed eagle, imagine something similar but twice as large and much more bulky. So when it comes to other factors like the colour or pattern of the feathers, unfortunately we have no real way of knowing at this stage. But what we do know, what makes this species special, is the fact that it was the largest eagle that's ever lived in Australia, and it only went extinct relatively recently.
How widespread was this species in Australia?
So currently we have fossils of Dinotaurus from several sites across South Australia and New South Wales. So we know it had a roughly southern to southeastern distribution. So whether or not it was only found in these areas is currently unknown. So I wouldn't be surprised, for example, if it also lived in Victoria, given the proximity of some of the fossil sites to this area. But it's a little less certain whether it lived in western or northern regions of Australia. And the only real way of learning if it did is if we find fossils from those areas.
Speaking of the fossils, some that you've worked on were found quite a while ago, and it's a species that's only recently been described. What's the story with that?
So the first fossils of this species, which were 4 bones in total, were first discovered in the 1950s and 60s in a site called Mayor's Cave, which is in the southern Flinders Ranges of South Australia. So in 2021, we went back to this site, so a team of people from Flinders University, myself included, because we were interested in seeing if we could find more fossils of this species that might have been left behind. So at the time, we were thinking, okay, maybe we'll find 2 or 3 extra bones. And by the end of the first day, we had found 28. So that was a pleasant surprise, to say the least. So what's more important is that these specimens all seem to have come from a single individual based on how they were all found in the same location. So that's a partial skeleton. And this is very exciting to paleontologists because when we have more bones of a skeleton, we can learn more about an animal and how it lived and how it's related to other species. And also this helps us identify fossils from other sites. And that's what happened because of this discovery. We were able to identify fossils from the Narracourt Caves, Cooper Creek, and the Wellington Caves as belonging to Dinotheratus because of this find.
Once you've got your hands on these fossils, these bones, what did your work actually involve with researching and describing Dinotheratus?
So it actually involved a lot of comparisons to living species. So what we did was take specimens of living eagles, so skeletons from collections in museums, and compare them to the fossil bones to try and figure out which ones Dinotheratus was most similar to. And this was both to try and figure out which ones it might be related to and also which ones it might have lived the most similarly to. So it kind of was a two-pronged approach there.
Once you were having that look at it, what sort of insights did you draw from that?
So as mentioned before, Dinotheratus gaffii was quite robust, which indicates that it was a very powerful predator, especially in regards to its legs. So in eagles that have that kind of morphology, that they tend to be hunting large animals relative to their own body size, especially mammals. So Dinotheratus also had quite large talons. And so in conjunction with its quite powerful legs, this means it would have had quite a formidable grip. So I think any animal that was unfortunate enough to end up in its grasp would be very unlikely to escape.
Being such a large animal, a formidable is the word I'd even use, eagle, what sort of role did Dinotheratus play in its environment, and what sort of species would it have possibly been interacting with?
Undoubtedly, Dinotheratus would have been one of the top predators in Australia at the time, so during the Pleistocene, so between 2 million to around 50,000 years ago. And as a species that it lived alongside, it would have coexisted with some of the extinct megafauna, including giant herbivores like the marsupial Diprotodon, as well as the flightless bird Geniornis, but also marsupial predators, including Phylacteleo, commonly known as the marsupial lion, Thylacines, and even the Tasmanian devil, which lived on the mainland at the time. But besides these, some of these extinct species, it also lived alongside species that are still alive today. So Dinotheratus would have coexisted with the wedge-tailed eagle, for example. They may have even competed with each other for food. And perhaps it even hunted grey kangaroos, which would have been keeping a wary eye on the skies.
You were talking before about comparing Dinotheratus to current species that are around in your analysis. But in terms of the lineage for Dinotheratus, how much is known, and are there modern species that are known to have actually descended from Dinotheratus?
So we did do some phylogenetic analyses of the species. So we used a combination of morphological data from the bones and molecular data from genetics, which was restricted for the living species, of course, because we can't get DNA from the fossils. And so what they found was that Dinotheratus was most closely related to species in two subfamilies of the eagle family, and these include the Aegipinae, which are a subfamily of vultures, and the Circaetinae, which are a group of eagles most commonly known as serpent eagles. So this latter subfamily actually includes one of the largest living eagles today, which is the Philippine eagle. So that could suggest that Dinotheratus evolved along a similar trajectory to this species. So in regards to descendants, unfortunately, Dinotheratus likely represented the end of its evolutionary line. So it died out only 50 to 60,000 years ago, which is really too recent to have left descendants behind. And of all the eagle species in Australia today, we know their relationships to those around the world, and we know none of them are closely related to Dinotheratus.
That makes sense. So it's a bit of an end of the line there, absolutely. And speaking of other eagle species, how common were large predatory birds in Australia across history during Dinotheratus's time, but also preceding Dinotheratus and even coming after Dinotheratus?
So in general, large predatory birds, even back then, would still likely have been relatively uncommon in the environment. We know from Dinotheratus that during the Pleistocene, they were certainly more diverse than they are today. And this isn't an unusual thing at all because, of course, being large predators, you need to have relatively low numbers compared to your prey species. Otherwise, you'll very quickly run out of food. So I would say that if we're talking about modern numbers of large eagles in Australia compared to that in the past, we probably would find overall larger population numbers, as back then they hadn't been affected by factors such as habitat loss or persecution.
Dinotaurus is, of course, one of many species that are no longer with us today. But what are some of the main factors that you think might have contributed to the extinction of Dinotaurus and even other birds that might have been around at the time?
So in the case of Dinotaurus, probably one of the biggest clues comes from the fact that it died out around the same time as the Australian megafauna, or at least that's what the evidence suggests at this point in time. So this could indicate that perhaps Dinotaurus was dependent on the species of Australian megafauna for food. So while it certainly wouldn't have been hunting fully grown megafaunal kangaroos or diprotodon, it certainly could have been preying on juveniles of those species. So when they went extinct, it would have lost a critical food resource and might have been unable to adapt to survive on the smaller species that survived and subsequently died out itself. There's also a possibility, I think, of perhaps climate playing a role, because we do know there were some climatic changes going on around that time. And it's possible that if they affected the kinds of habitat that Dinotaurus was adapted to live in, then that could have also greatly impacted its ability to survive.
There's a whole range of potential factors there. Now, with Dinotaurus, what sort of unanswered questions are there about this species, and what do you think it would take to hopefully have a more, I suppose, whole or full idea of what the species was like?
So one thing that we currently don't know is the exact wing proportions relative to the body. So the wing bones we have of this species aren't complete, so we don't have a complete humerus or ulna, for example. And that sort of limits our understanding of its flight behaviour, because the morphology of the wings is pretty crucial in learning about that. So figuring out whether it was, for example, a soaring predator or perhaps a pursuit hunter, which engaged in more flapping flight behaviour, could be resolved by discovering some intact examples of these bones. So I'd be pretty keen to find out, because that also has implications for its environment as well.
Ellen, thanks so much for joining us on the show. It's been really wonderful to hear your insights about Dinotaurus, this fascinating species of bird.
It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
You've been listening to Extinct. I'm Alice Leggett. If you want to hear more about dead things, be sure to subscribe to the podcast. And don't forget to leave a rating or review. It helps Extinct reach more people who are passionate about the planet's past and future. Until next time, stay curious.